Thanks to Amazon Pharmacy for supporting The Instance. Amazon Pharmacy makes it easy to order your prescriptions and have them delivered straight to your door. Amazon Prime members can save on prescription medication when not using insurance and get free two-day delivery. Learn more at amazon.com/wowrx.
The World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to. This is The Instance.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to The Instance. It is Friday, March 12th, 2021. I'm Scott Johnson with Garrett Weinzierl. Garrett, good morning.
How you doing, everybody? Happy Friday.
Why do I keep saying morning? It's freaking afternoon where you are.
It is late. Afternoon. Even where you are, is it? Oh, wait, no. Yeah, it is. It You're is. Only 2 hours behind me. It is 40 minutes afternoon where you are. Scott, what are you doing? It
doesn't make any damn sense why I said morning. So I'm just going to pretend I didn't, and you all at home can fill in your own time zone. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, it's all good.
You know, they're put somebody in the Congress is pushing through another bill to try to get the daylight savings thing to just be permanent, just stick to the one we're on and then call it good.
No, let's stick to the next one because I'd like to have sun after I'm done working, please.
That's right. That's the next one. Okay.
We're about to go to dark in the morning, light at the end of the workday. That's right. What I want. Right. Please and thank you. Give me an hour to go running before the mosquitoes come out and drain me dry.
That's right. We don't get mosquitoes till late fall. So I don't know what's wrong with Florida, but. Good job.
It's a perpetual swamp, Scott. It's a perpetual swamp.
That's true. All year.
We are in a swamp of sorrows. For some reason, they also built Disney here, but we are definitely in the swamp of sorrows.
Nicely done. Hey, we got a lot to talk about. It was a patch week, but not much of one in retrospect. It didn't generate a lot of new stuff. We kind of knew everything that was coming and have certainly talked about it here. But there's just a kind of a weird lull this week, despite it being a patch week.
It's really curious, man. I've been talking to a lot of people about WoW this week, and I'm in this weird place where, if I were to give you my honest opinion, I'm bored.
Yeah.
But I'm still happy to continue playing the game.
Right.
Usually I get bored and I'm like, all right, it's time to take a break.
Yeah.
And I'll just take a break.
Yeah.
But I'm bored, but I'm still having a good time.
Yeah. It's hard to explain. It's weird. I'm doing the same.
It's unique, right? Cause we make content. We do the show every week about World of Warcraft. And yet I don't really have much to say about this patch.
Yeah.
There's just not much to talk about.
No, there really isn't. There are a couple of things and we'll hit those now in our side quests. So there is this weird thing that I just thought was too funny. We had to have it on the show, but I don't know if anyone has noticed, but with 9.0.5, which is the patch we got on Tuesday, all the male blood elves in the game, all of them, only the male ones though, females are looking good. Well done, ladies, have a perpetual smirk on their faces. You thought they were like smarmy bastards before. Well, now they all are, no matter what you do at the barbershop. It seems to stem from the removal of some structural bone stuff in the rigging of the characters' faces, part of the model. And as a result, it leaves sort of this wide chin and therefore a wide kind of ridiculous, smirky Joker style smile. Not big open smile like the Joker, but kind of a wider smile.
You want to know how I got these eyebrows?
It is like five different stories about how he got them. But really what happened is they removed his bones. And it's real weird. Doesn't matter what you do in the barbershop, you're just stuck with this weird perpetual smirk. This is, of course, not really that big a deal. Most of you have helms on. Most of you don't look at your face very much. You're looking at your back end if you're in third person. And
I'm always looking at back ends.
Well, of course, constantly. Especially with the blood elves. I know how you are.
Yeah, and right now it's a tree. It's a tree back end.
Oh, nice. But it's a thing. It's out there. In fact, I think I have an image here. Let's see. I'm going to share this image out with everybody because it's not that big a deal, but it does remind me that as we've learned recently with Blizzard's unwillingness to give people more customization options and the controversy that created, people care about this stuff. Like, it matters to them. Cosmetics and customization and uniqueness, and the game has never really offered a ton of uniqueness. There's a lot of uniqueness per race, but within those races, very little in terms of customization until recently. And so I understand, the crying and the wailing that we get about this sort of thing. So somebody somewhere is pissed that they're Night Elf, or excuse me, their Blood Elf is all smirky. I'm going to go ahead and go on the record and say I think he looks better.
I think it's weird to call this a smirk because the only difference I notice is that like the bottom of the jaw is a little more square. Like if anything, I'd call this a new Jay Leno, not a new smirk.
Oh yeah. Everyone got Jay Leno. There you go. Yeah.
Like this is, I saw this going around and all I can think of is the Office meme where it's Pam saying they're the same picture. Like the mouth looks identical.
Yeah, it's not that different, and I don't think people probably care that much. But you know, when you're given a patch week where very little happens with that patch, it's kind of nice to, you know, have a little something to focus on.
Yeah,
like our new mounts. Tell me about the Wandering Ancient because we can ride around on a tree now.
Yeah, man. Speaking of tree butts, the Wandering Ancient mount has made its debut this week with patch 9.0.5, and it starts out in its wintery form because, well, not that I know this because I'm in Florida, we're still in winter.
Yeah.
So Ouroboros is just crawling with the things at this stage, which is, you know, to be expected. While most are happy with the free mount, some argue it's a little bit of a white load in public spaces, and you know, that got us thinking: is there too big or too small when it comes to mounts in WoW, Scott?
I've thought a lot about this since it came out, and they're not wrong. When you're hanging around Ouroboros in particular, that's where, you know, that's kind of the congregational space in this expansion, and you know, you have your oversized monstrous mounts like the freaking auction house dinosaur thing. Everybody pulls out their I almost said Bantha. They remind me of Banthas, the freaking Pandaren transmog mounts. I forget the name of them.
Oh, make sure you travel in single file to hide your numbers.
Yes, there you go. They're big already, but there's something about this tree, and when there's a bunch of them in a room, They have a great way of sort of obscuring your quest givers and your shorter races and stuff you might be looking for in a room or whatever. And I've thought about this a lot. There was a controversial period in World of Warcraft where WoW said, "Hey, hunters, you want to tame dinosaurs?" And we all said, "Yeah, let us try that out for a while. Let's see how dinosaurs go." And then what we ended up with was two hulking freaking polygon monsters that would get in everybody's way all the time. And you could argue that's still a problem today. If anybody, especially if somebody takes the talent, forgot the talent for Beastmaster, where you get two pets. But anyway, whatever that is. So now you're flanked by potentially two giant dinosaurs or two huge double-headed freaking creatures of some sort. And that's a nightmare. Like, it's annoying to have that person around because they're stomping all over the place. Back in the day, the screen shook really bad. I think it now just makes sound. So I don't know what the upper limit is. I don't know what our tolerance should be for big fat mounts that get in our way, and how much a player should feel justified in complaining about such a thing, and whether Blizzard should ever do anything about it. I don't know. I like bigger, but I know it can annoy people. You know, where's the mailbox? Oh, yeah. It's underneath those three trees over there that you can't see through. Oh, well, okay.
They seem to, at least in Shadowlands, thought about this though, because I've been writing this ancient nonstop since I got it on Tuesday, and I have not gotten stuck anywhere in Shadowlands.
Mm.
Okay. And like, I remember being worried about it because, like you, I'm a Night Fae, and I was like, oh, there's a lot of, you know, rooty tree BS all over the place. I figured I'd get hung up more, but I don't.
Yeah.
I can run around the Queen's Conservatory and all those pretty vine archways that look like you could just throw a stone and get married under any of them. I'm just passing under them with no issue.
Yeah.
They really thought about their clearance with this mount, Scott.
Yeah, it's fine. I'm not.
I feel like two of the mount artists, at least two of them, are 18-wheelers drivers. Oh, they're truckers.
Yeah,
they were truckers before they started working at Blizzard.
Yeah.
They seem very concerned with clearance.
Yeah. And they're not afraid to back one of those up in traffic. They know what has to be done to get that.
They know exactly what they're doing. Yeah.
You're describing one of my worst fears. You're
happy to wait for it because you're just so impressed.
You're describing one of my worst fears. So when we move anywhere or do anything that needs a big truck, Kim refuses to let me drive it because I freak out. I am so weirded out by being in something that big and having to like turn this way so the back end goes the other way. Like, it does all these things with physics that my tiny car never has to worry about doing. Terrifies me. I just know I'm going to murder people or smash up 15 compact cars without knowing it. I never want to be that guy. They terrify me. How do you feel about getting behind the wheel of a U-Haul?
It's fine. I just take it slow, man. Hey, next time we do a bonus show, remind me to tell you about the first time I ever drove.
Oh, really?
It was a conversion van and it didn't go smoothly.
Oh, I bet it didn't. But that's a great way to learn early on what the hell you got to do. Well, anyway, I think just driving trucks scares me. You know, like anybody has you have a thing where you're like, oh, I could never snowboard or whatever your thing is. That's me and
skydiving for me.
Yeah, skydiving. Never going to happen, right? Bungee for some, whatever it is, whatever your thing is. For me, it's driving a big old rig with a steering wheel that's not, it's like almost parallel or not, or what am I trying to say? Like a flat steering wheel, like you're doing it this way? Oh my gosh.
Like a bus driver.
Yeah. Oh, with a big old gear shift. I don't even know what that freaking thing does. And
that's remarkably how I feel driving the Sentra around. Actually, I got to say, I thought I was not going to like the run animation on the Ancient.
Yeah.
They did a good job with it. Like the fact that this thing has to move as fast as it does, I think they kind of nailed it. It's a little goofy.
Yeah.
But it works a lot better than I would have thought a tree at full sprint would look.
It has the illusion of weight, and that's key, so that it doesn't feel too floaty or I don't know, like it's not there's no heft to it, because you know there's a lot of heft to a big old tree like that. So I'm into it.
It's a really good looking mount. Yeah. Like I know we flipped on the art panel before it while we were live streaming BlizzCon line.
Yeah.
But like it's always different when like you have it, right? And you're in control of it and you can move the camera wherever you want to take a look at it. And I think my own complaint is like it's winter. I want to see it in one of its more colorful modes.
Yeah. It'd be cool if it wasn't just time based on a sort of yearly constructs of seasonal time, but actually based on either the zone you're in or like that would be my preference, the zone you're in. So if you're in winter, spring, it's freaking snow. You look like a snowy tree. You're in the place you should be. But the minute you head out to the Barrens, you're in dark summer and everything in between. Like I would really like that. Now, if they're not going to do that, second best thing would be you live in a temperate Florida. I live in a still cold. I mean, it's like 28 degrees outside right now. It's still plenty cold for March, even though things are warming up.
It would never hit 28 degrees.
Yeah, you'd never get that cold there. So they should do that. And then when freak storms hit Texas, like that one a couple of weeks ago, they should change it. They should change it to winter just for that, but only for people in that server zone. They should get really smart about it, except none of those people had power, so they couldn't see their tree anyway. So I don't know why I had that idea. That's a bad idea.
Somebody at Blizzard right now listening whose job it would be to actually make this happen is having a full-on panic attack listening you describe the insane things you're asking for.
Yeah. Hey, do you want to be in charge of our seasonal mount, but make it accurate for climate change in the year 2021? Can you do that? And that's a hard job. You need a whole team. It'd be terrible. Anyway.
I like it as is. I think it's cool. It goes with the seasons. It just means like, you know, and come spring, I'm going to pop it up one day, not even think about it and be like, oh damn, look, it changed.
Yep. You're right.
Or more likely I'll see someone else running around on it.
Yeah. And one assumes that kicks over when they, whatever the official first day of spring is, suddenly your tree will be different. So that's
fine. Yeah. I forgot we were getting a different tint for our Covenant mount too, for maxing on our Renown this week. And,
right.
I got to say the Night Fae one is like about as noticeable as that new Blood Elf smirk. It is so subtle. I can barely tell the difference between the one I already had.
Yeah.
And this one,
I haven't done any soul shape changes. Have you done any of that? I haven't changed.
Only the ones that I've gotten just by mainlining the Covenant quest. I haven't gone out of my way to get any of the hidden ones.
Yeah.
Which is shame because there's a Raptor one, I think. I really want the Raptor one, but I haven't done the job to go get it.
Yeah.
So I'm floating around as a moth right now. I like that moth form. It's pretty.
Well, I'm pretty sure I've got two of them, but got them and then never did anything to change it, because you have to change it, right? You have to do something.
You talk to the, like, there's like a ghost bird in the corner. You talk to them. They've got all your.
I just haven't gotten around to it.
I think like, this week we just got the Gulper. We got the frog form this week, which is pretty hilarious.
That's pretty good.
I feel like that would be your form.
So yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why, but I feel like your sensibilities and your sense of humor, you'd be running around as those big ridiculous frogs for a while.
Plus, you know, frog pants and all that. I could make it work.
That's right. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, clearly it's Friday and I'm I didn't put on my clever hat today, Scott.
Nope. We match shirts, but we didn't put on our clever hats.
Well, there.
There you go.
Hat is on. Now I'm clever.
You're so damn clever, I can barely look at you. All right. There's all of that. Again, not the spiciest of bits this week. And in fact, we're going to rely on a new thing happening today in our main quest line. And that's you, the listener. That's right. I put out on Twitter that we were shy stories and not a ton to talk about, and we wanted to do a show. So we're like, well, all right, how about we get some of your voices in here? And you guys really stepped up to the bar and gave us some great questions. If you haven't followed us yet, do so over at Instance Show. And when something like this comes up, you can take part in it and submit your questions. For example, we got this first one here. I'll just crank right into these from Stephen Morrison. He is It Scuba Steve on Twitter, and he says this. How do you guys feel about exchanging anima globules for weapons instead of just straight drops? One of the best things about raiding in the past for me was getting that badass weapon drop, and exchanging an anima globe for a generic Covenant weapon just doesn't feel as rewarding. Interesting. Thoughts on that? I mean, I think I'm kind of with him, except that that was pretty, what's the word here I'm looking for? You were trading an apple for an orange. I mean, you were basically, I assume what he means is like, I'm in a raid. They drop the whatever, the token. Okay. I go back to the dude, Quartermaster Bill, who lives in the tree or whatever. And he says, here you go. What do you want to exchange that for? And then you swap it in for, cause you're a druid. You swap it in for those druid boots you've been waiting to get or whatever. As I assume that's what he's talking about. Like those kinds of drops.
We get tokens. We get to, right. If you're raiding, you get a token for a weapon. You don't get a weapon. And then you have to go back to your Covenant and trade it in. And you get a weapon that goes with our current Covenant armor sets. It doesn't actually go with the stuff we're getting out of Nathria.
Right.
So there's basically no Nathria weapons.
Right.
Which
is a little weird, except not, because also we didn't have Nathria weapons in, or Nathria. We didn't have weapons in anything except for our Legion weapons, our artifacts. That was it. Our artifact weapon was our weapon.
Well, we're also skipping over BFA, but yeah.
Oh, good point. Yeah.
Yeah. BFA had plenty of weapons dropped like usual. But yeah, I don't know. To me, it made sense because, you know, this first bat out, I don't know. I feel like they kind of had to make a choice. Like we got two armor sets essentially with the 9.0 Shadowlands launch patch. You either have your Nathria set for your class or you have your Covenant set for your class, because depending on what armor class you are, there's a unique look for all of them.
Right.
So they had to decide, are you getting, I guess they could have just given us both, right? They could have given us weapons out of Nathria and probably, you know, given us like an appearance that we unlock through our, through our Covenant. But it's a thing I look at and I go, well, they made a choice.
Yeah. Feels like, it doesn't feel like something that they, well, I wouldn't mind both is what I'm saying. That'd be great.
I wouldn't either. So I see where Scuba Steve here is coming from, but I guess, you know, it didn't bother me that much, but frankly, I still haven't gotten a damn weapon out of Nathria. So like there's also that.
Yeah.
Game is stingy with weapons, Scott.
It is. Why is it so stingy with weapons? I hear this complaint a lot. Why? What's going on? What's the deal? But Blizzard.
I don't know. I've taken some time away from raiding. So I kind of went hard for like a month and then,
well,
I had some work come up.
But if you go hard for a month, you should. I think your expectation for something happening in that month is not unreasonable. You know what I mean?
I was hoping for one because I started raiding as Arms, and now I'm Fury, and it's like, well, now I need two. Great.
Yeah, now you have two specs to worry about.
Hey, maybe Valor will help me with that.
Maybe.
Still have to get the damn weapon to drop out of Mythic in the first place. But
that's right. Oh, I will say this: the there is something very cool. I don't love the Night Fae Hunter gear. It's fine. It looks okay. But me on top of that tree in winter form, which has kind of got a little bit of blue to it. And then you got the sparkly business I'm wearing. And I've got right now, my two pets are these, one of those goats, freaking Night Fae goats I went and found, like two of them with the long horns and the curly stuff. And they got like weird trinkets hanging in their horns and stuff. It is a pretty awesome sight. Like I look like Nature Boy incarnate, who's about ready to just rip everybody a new butthole with his awesome arrows.
I kind of dig the male set. I think it's one of the more unique ones we've had in a while.
It's unique. I just feel like it's a little, I don't know how to explain it.
I mean, you're also an orc. I get it. Like it's not really an orc aesthetic. It's definitely much more an elf.
Yeah. That's what it is, actually. Now that you say that, that's what it is.
Just make a little headcanon, man. Like GURP is becoming one with nature, really finding his natural side, going back to his roots of taming the wild as a hunter.
He's always been a fan of the nature. So he'd be naked if they'd let him. All right, moving on. Andy Wolfarth. Wolfarth, I think, is how you'd say it.
Wolfarth.
Wolfarth with an H.
Just don't say fart.
Yes, don't say fart. I'm sure he's gotten that a lot in his life. He's at that on Twitter, and he wrote this. Levels mean nothing. The stuff you used to get for leveling has been replaced by systems like Renown, Sanctum upgrades, Armor upgrades, and Soulbind activities, or abilities, rather. Expansion should have a single level since max level is just a gate to content like TG. Agree, disagree, like, dislike? I understand what he's saying. The leveling process does give you the traditional leveling things. These boots are better. This chest is better. You're getting gear. You're getting gold. You're getting resources. You're getting food. You're getting other things during that process of those 10 levels. So I kind of disagree about that for the leveling part. What he's talking about is literally endgame, but I don't know how that's ever been any different. The leveling stops, and now you quote unquote level other things, whether it's in the form of reputation grinding or it's in the form of this anima and renown collecting we're doing right now. Whether like in the last expansion, we were upgrading a stupid necklace, and before that, some rad weapons. Like the leveling shifts from you were 10 levels down, now you're current with the content. Now we're going to shift these mechanics, this progression mechanic, to other things and start showing those progressions. And in a lot of cases, like right now, there are multiple areas of progression. So I don't know how that's ever been any different, I would say, to Andy. It's always been that. Even in the original game, when you played vanilla and you hit 60, you were still, you know, you would raid for better gear and you would do other activities for better gear. And in Burning Crusade, they introduced dailies, and those daily quests kind of became the new grind. And those had their own progression systems tied to them and currencies attached to them. And I just don't see how this has been any different. This is no, like, they didn't do anything here that I wouldn't equate to something they've already done. If that makes sense.
I agree. I don't share Andy's feelings in regards to this. You have systems and you have content, and like levels, they're just a system of World of Warcraft. And I think, like you said, Scott, I don't think this is an expansion specific thing. I don't think this is a Shadowlands specific thing. You could have said the same probably all the way back to vanilla. You could have, to a certain degree, it is arbitrary. So I don't necessarily disagree with Andy here, but
isn't he more or less, he's more or less talking about overall, and this might be why there's a little bit of fatigue going on right now, because it really is not that different. It's new paint on an old car. We're kind of doing that thing that we've always done. This is just the new version of that thing, and it's got some tweaks enough to make it seem like, oh, all right, well, you know, we're in the afterlife, and that's different, and it's not just a continent with a bunch of cities. It's a central hub, and then we've got to fly to these places that are really weird and disparate, and we're working for them. So it feels different, but at the end of the day, we're still doing end game WoW.
Yeah. And I do think there is a part of like reaching the end game in Shadowlands that is like unique to Shadowlands, but it's not what Andy's talking about, because in Shadowlands, like, you can't go join your covenant until you actually finish the main quest line.
That's true.
So in a way, yeah, like in level 60 is arbitrary, because I was about 15 quests off from finishing the main quest line when I dinged 60.
Yeah.
It didn't matter. I had to still go finish it. So in that way, yeah, levels are arbitrary.
Yeah.
But they don't bother me at all. I think you could make an argument for, hey, when I finish the main quest line of your new expansion, just maybe have that essentially be like a soft attunement for world quests and max level reds. You know what I mean?
Max level reds, the worst.
Max level reds. That's how I love my wine. I go in, I say, give me a max level red.
I love that. I'd start drinking wine to have a max level red. But
they also look at me sideways when I say, no, I want it wet, not dry. Why would I want it? I clearly want a wet wine.
Always want a wet one. Yeah. Give me the wet one. I agree completely. And I just think it's easy for us as gamers, and particular WoW gamers, to forget what we're really looking at this stage. We're looking at the exterior of everything, but really the underpinning is what mattered. Like, what is the skeletal structure of WoW, and what really has changed about it? And there's arguments to be made for lots and lots and lots of little things. But overall, it is a game about going from here to there and gaining something for that. And it, whether that's experience points, which gives you a level in the vanilla experience, it was mostly that. That was the system of the game, was progressing through that game and getting to a place where then now you settle into some raiding and some other stuff. But really the core of it was this longer, harder, I should finish that sentence quickly, longer and harder content that took a lot longer to get through than, say, today, going from 50 to 60. 50 to 60 in vanilla days, it was a long-ass time. Not now. So what do they do now? That they have a quicker leveling experience, a more concise story experience, and then they move us into this other stuff, and this other stuff takes up the slack. But at the end of the day, it's all sort of working on the same skeletal structure of what an MMO is, or what a Blizzard MMO is, and therefore what most MMOs are now. They all behave like WoW MMOs, and that's the game. That's the game. So I just don't want, I try not to do this myself. I don't ever want to get too bogged down and confusing my fatigue with a game that's 15 years old that I start to see, oh, well, we're doing a lot of the same stuff, and it's starting to make it so it's harder for me to want to get in there and be there where I was more engaged in it because it was new back in the day, and when we hadn't done those things a billion times before. It's just easy to forget that it's not like the game suddenly got weird. It's just this time plus, there's an equation happening here is what I'm saying. Time plus time spent in the game plus perception plus gamer tastes and other games go forward and technology changes and player base changes and how we communicate changes. Like, those things are all changing much faster than what World of Warcraft is. At its core, it's what it's always been. It just is this thing. So, for good or for ill, I hope you're enjoying yourself, Andy. Ojoman over at C Atkinson 1023, he said this: you are in charge of the next class to be added to World of Warcraft. It has to wear male armor. What class are we getting, and what's your general playstyle?
Has to wear male.
Well, his name will be General Playstyle. I know that. Let's see. What do I want? Male.
I want... we already kind of got the monk, so I feel like this will never happen. But I always wanted more like a cleric, like a battle healer.
Ah, there you go. That's good. That's it. Like a cleric, battle healer, like a. I always say battle mage, and I guess even male could work for that. But yeah, like a cleric. A cleric is the right answer, I think. Dual wield a couple of maces.
Give me a flail.
A couple of flails, man. Two flails.
A golden, glowing, holy light flail.
Yeah. I guess what we're saying is, give us Crusaders from Diablo 3, is what we're saying. I would play the hell out of a character that healed and fought like that. That'd be great.
I think of like the cooler early Assassin's Creed sets that were like still very clothy with the hood, but then like anywhere the cloth kind of parted, you could see there was like full on chainmail underneath.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
It's pretty cool.
Sign me up.
I don't think they're going to call it a cleric though. So that's something we got to think about. They don't, you know, they called magic users in the game mages for a reason. They didn't want to call them sorcerers or wizards because those were very common terms in your D&Ds and your whatnots. So they want to separate it a little bit. I wonder what they'd call it.
Diablo already called it. They were like, well, we want a paladin, but we don't want to call it that. Let's go with a crusader.
That's a good point. Well, wait, isn't a, it just occurred to me that do we already have this class with, shaman? I heard shaman basically this, or at least a speck of shaman.
A little bit, but you know, they're more about nature and the elements. I want something very, very like holy power aligned.
How about war healer? Or
war healer.
War healer. Or war of battle healer. I don't know. There's something there.
Bandage boy.
Bandage boy. That. Yeah. I want to be bandage boy. That's fantastic. Okay. Well done, Ojaman. How about Brian Podcaster? He's mostly known to us as Ro. Hello, Brian. He says this: how do you feel about the story of Shadowlands so far stacking up against the initial story content of expansions in the past? I personally believe that the initial goings of this game, story-wise, are some of my favorite. I really like Shadowlands' story. I think it's a little piecemeal during the during the end game, and it, you know, like it always is, it's gated, and renown is where it's gated and other things. But also patches and other stuff we just don't have yet. But that initial story and pretty much all of my questing experience for my initial character, I loved every second of that. I really had a good time in there. Where it stands right now, I don't know yet. Like, there's stuff to do. I like the Anduin cinematic at BlizzCon line. I liked, you know, where that some of that stuff's going. I like embarrassed, heart-clasping Uther. There's places this could go and would really keep me going. But I don't know. Garrett, what do you think about Shadowlands as a story thus far?
I think overall it's been pretty good. I think there were maybe three too many hanging cliffhangers for my liking.
Yeah.
Like, I would have liked, like, why the hell are we still waiting to find out who the Winter Queen's sister is?
Oh yeah.
Good point. Yeah. Like, they start throwing that around like, shh, it is secret. And then we just fart off and we never talk about it again. Even if you're a Night Fae, it's just like, oh yeah. Were you worried about the, hey, you're sorry, you got to go fight the Drust.
Yeah.
Like, I'm grumpier about it now. And I think a lot of it has to do with like maining Night Fae, because Night Fae started exceptionally strong. And then I think had one of the, just the most phoned in, forgettable, like, end chapters of its Covenant campaign.
It's a little
like,
petered out.
You go out, you fight the Drust, and it's just like, that's the end of it. A character you like dies unceremoniously and not a well put together cinematic. It's just one of the crappy in game ones.
Yeah. I noticed that too. Night Fae started out so strong with that like amphitheater stuff, and it just felt like way more fleshed out than anywhere else I had been. And, you know, admittedly, I've only really spent a chunk of extra time over in with the Venthyr, but I agree with you. It's just petered out. It's not, it may have somewhere to go still, but right now it's just kind of like, oh, okay, well, here we are.
Yeah. I feel like they all kind of have these, we'll call them hanging chads, because I guess the Floridian in me wants to call them that.
Yeah.
Like, all of them have that, I guess, like, except for maybe the Venthyr, because they kind of get a pretty big, like, end of chapter at the end of Nathria, because it ties so directly in with the Venthyr.
Yeah.
But, you know, you've got, like, Uther is still kind of unresolved if you're doing Bastion. You know, you've got a lot of stuff with the Winter Queen unresolved if you're doing Night Fae. And then, like, there's also the whole thing with the Primus in Maldraxxus. Yeah. And it's like, we've got pretty good idea who the Primus is. We've got a less solid, but still pretty good idea who the Winter Queen sister is. It's like, we're pretty sure we know where all this is going. What World of Warcraft? I mean, Warcraft, it's not Shakespeare,
right?
So, like, could we have? I would have liked like just a few more loose ends tied up. I'm still getting like a whiff of, I think they started writing this when we still liked Game of Thrones.
Oh, that's funny. So
I'm getting a little Game of Thronesification of my, let's have 17 billion characters and a ton of story threads hanging on.
Yeah. You're not wrong about that. I mean, I will.
I wanted to be clear. This is everything I just said, I would file under nitpick for me. Yeah, overall, same. I've really enjoyed. I've really, really enjoyed Shadowlands. And I think my kind of prickliness to the subject is more coming from the fact that I think I'm going to be gray haired by the time we get 9.1.
Feels like it. Well, too late for me. I got enough gray hair for two expansions, but
you pull it off, Scott.
Yeah, thanks, man. Here's the only other thing I would add, to just go a little further on Brian's question, because, you know, he's sort of like, as compared to other stuff, I'll give you not a direct quote, but a bit of a translation from a comment Chris gave me in a phone call not long ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, where he said, Mr. Chris Metzen, who's no longer there, used to be in charge of all this stuff, right? All these creative directions would either be him or through him or in his team and then spread out through the game. And he told me that this stuff they're doing with Shadowlands and, you know, just specifically the story beats that they're hitting and all this stuff, he says this is his favorite stuff they've done in a very long time, including a bunch of time he was there. He really, really likes where this stuff is going. We didn't talk about systems or gating or any of that. We just said, hey, like, how do you feel about just like raw story, character, sub-character, world building, this sort of stuff? And he was nothing but, you know, bright and shiny about all of it. So take that for whatever it's worth. I mean, I think it's easy for us to say, hey, I really liked Wrath better because those are characters I still like and I totally relate to, and Arthas is a badass and blah, blah, blah. Like, it's easy to glom on the stuff you love the most about the overall arcing Warcraft story and say that was the best they've done or whatever. But what I like about this is all stuff I've never seen before. So in a lot of ways, the newness of Shadowlands relies almost completely on this writing and world building and character and stuff, where we have some through lines, obviously, but you know, everything about this part of the world is really, really new and not just relying on old tropes. And I really like that about it.
Yeah. World building is the big one for me. Like with any fiction, like that's kind of usually the bar I'm wanting my fiction to clear. Like I grew up with Star Wars. Give me a good world. I want it to feel like I could like randomly walk into any door and there would be an interesting story taking place there.
Yeah.
And that's where I think Shadowlands just like exceeds all my story expectations, because the world building for all four of the zones we level through, and even the Maw, you know, we've all had our issues with the Maw, I think, but
like, it's mostly storytelling perspective. Right? Yeah, exactly. Because mechanically, the Maw sucks mechanically. You could say that some of Bastion sucks mechanically, or just how we have to get from place to place. Maybe there's other problems.
Bastion is fine. Just give me like four times as many flight points in Bastion, please.
Yeah.
Why do I have to like hoof it to anything east in Bastion? There's no flight points in the east.
They got like bad policies out in the east. I don't know what they're doing.
It's very strange. You know what? It's because they all have freaking wings and they don't think about us mere wingless mortals.
Yeah. They don't care about infrastructure out in the east, those bastards.
They're over there playing Aeon or whatever that MMO was called. And we're sitting here going, excuse me. Yeah, I come from Azeroth. I don't have wings. Can we do something about Aeon. This, please?
That was totally Aeon. I played Aeon for a hot fart minute.
Yeah, dude, like the world building is really freaking exceptional. You and I both said it multiple times, and I think it's a great example of it. Like, they made us care about Bastion. You and I were both like, I'm not really that into wheat fields.
Yeah.
But they made me care about the wheat fields.
Yes, it worked. It worked. Congratulations. Yeah, this is not the weakness of Shadowlands. If there's a weakness, this goes all the way back to our first question. If there's a weakness in Shadowlands, I think it has more to do with the age of this game and what you can actually keep doing with it than it does with the actual mechanics that they decided to put in Shadowlands. I'm going to get emails about this and people are going to decry this and whatever. They're going to have specific problems with the way Animal works and the way, the way the gating works or whatever. And they're all valid. I'm not saying any of them are invalid, but I do think that if you pull the camera way back and go, what story is being told and how well is it being told? And let's compare that with the past. This is some of their best work, in my opinion. All right. How much fun I'm having? Different. That's a different question. You want to have that question? That's a different one, but that's not nothing to do with story and backdrop and world building.
I think a lot of it just has to do with the weight. You know, I think this is a good starter patch. It's just overstaying its welcome.
Yeah, it's a good point. We're going to move to Diablo here with a question from
Diablo.
I don't know why I didn't get their name, but this came to us. Sorry about this. Whoever this was, it says, do you think Blizzard will fight for crossplay features across multiple consoles on Diablo 2 Resurrected? My fiance and I would love to quest together on our PC/PS5/Switch, but that becomes moot if that feature isn't supported. They have said 4 will be getting cross-platform capability, although they were not specific, but I think it was progression is what they said. So saves, cross-platform saves, which is good. That's the number one step that matters most to me is cross-platform saving and syncing. That matters most. And then if you can get me with my friends on different platforms, that's number 2. And I don't think any of that's been confirmed for either 4 or 2. So I don't know the answer to that question because they haven't said. I looked around for this a bit and I could not find any quotes that said that there would be specifically Diablo 2 Resurrected crossplay. But my fingers are as crossed as yours, dude. I want that. I think that would be great. Now, Garrett, on the other hand, does not like Diablo 2 at all. So he may have other feelings.
I didn't play it really outside of a demo or over at my buddy's house who had one of those see-through back IMAX. That was my experience with Diablo 2. So I have no nostalgia for it. And that's it. And I feel like it's required to have nostalgia for it because all they're doing is giving me the same game again with slightly better graphics.
I'm going to not disagree though. It's funny because I'm very stoked about what I've seen and their efforts to separate this from the mess that was Reforged. So I feel really good about it overall. And I'm stoked about the changes and how it looks and everything else. But I do think if you don't have that original sort of you know, this is my gateway Blizzard game. The Diablo games were the things that really drove me. Not as much Warcraft, not as much other stuff in those early days. In the 90s, the Blizzard games that grabbed me the most were Diablo 1 and 2, and they did so fiercely. If you don't have that, then yeah, I don't think this is all that exciting for people like that, right? Like, yeah, so you know what? You're right. Yeah. You're right.
Without rehashing my gut reaction, which was more negative than I meant it to be, but I was fighting with Kyle.
Sure.
And, you know, sometimes daddy and mommy fight in public, you know, but Kyle's very much, very, very, I'm not sure who Kyle is in that. Me, anyway, it, to me, really just comes down to, for me, that was Warcraft 3. Warcraft 3 was that for me. That was my gateway.
Yeah.
And I hated Warcraft 3 Reforged. I had all of the nostalgia I could have possibly came with for that. And I look at Diablo 2 Resurrected and I go, how is this not Warcraft 3 Reforged again? How is this not just the same game with better graphics?
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand. I don't know why Diablo 2 gets a pass, but we all went like and climbed a mountain of hate to spew at Warcraft 3 Reforged.
Well, I know why, because Reforged was a whole bunch of stuff was promised about Reforged that didn't happen.
A whole bunch of stuff that I'm gonna push back a little bit because it was really just the cinematics.
Yeah, that was a big part of it. It was really just
cinematics. You know what? Surprise! The game kind of controls like butt.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
There's other things like the core Warcraft 3 experience just isn't that good anymore.
No, I agree.
Played better games.
I agree. It doesn't hold up, and I can see why by that thinking that you would say, well, who's to say Diablo 2 Resurrected is gonna be any different in that regard. And I agree with that. Like, everyone should go back and mess with 2 a little bit just to be reminded about how stilted it is. Because it is. It's a thing of its time. It maxed out at 800 by 600 freaking pixels per inch. It was ridiculous. But if you're still cool with that, and I have a feeling a lot of people are because they like Path of Exile, and Path of Exile is basically Diablo 2 the way it feels to me. And a lot of people really like that, so they'll probably be fine. But so it's not just that, though. It's not just the stuff that they said was going to be in there that wasn't. Although it really is annoying to be at a BlizzCon playing a cutscene and going, that looks awesome. Can't wait to see all these. And then have none of them, including that one.
I'm with you there. Okay, I'm with you there.
But lame.
To me, it was pretty minor. Like,
so lame.
Before Reforged had come out, I think 2 years prior, I had replayed through Warcraft 3, like, as it stood.
Well, that was the other thing.
Widescreen, because I added that eventually.
But that brings me to the next thing. They took your ability to do that away. So, ding number 2 or 3. Yeah. Where they said, your old stuff's not going to play anymore. You got to have this new version here to play on Battle.net. Sorry.
Yeah. That being said, though, like, for me personally, I could give no fewer shits. Like, that's fine. I don't care. Well, I have no interest in playing the old version of the game.
Right.
But yeah, I really just, like, I got in there and I was like, boy, yeah, no, StarCraft 2 is just a much better playing RTS. I have no interest in controlling this anymore.
To me, this feels like a
Taco. And so I find it interesting.
This feels like a curious Taco Bell that had food poisoning on Friday, and then everyone had to close that Taco Bell down until the following Wednesday, and then they reopened and they really want to impress me with that Crunchwrap Supreme that day. You know what I mean? Like, they're like, oh man, we really effed up, but come on, it's never going to be cleaner. That's never going to be better cooked. The beef's amazing. The fresh everything. The lettuce isn't all wilted. This is the best Crunchwrap Supreme you'll ever put in your hole. That's what I'm hoping happens with Remastered. Yeah.
It's just curious to me because I really see it as kind of the same strategy, like starting with the Brood War remake. Like, the Brood War remake came out. It was a faithful recreation of OG StarCraft. Yeah. It seemed like absolutely no one cared.
Yeah.
They still play it in Korea. They still play it. Like, it's successful over on the esports side of the scene. It's successful for the people that do care. They're just not a massive audience.
Yeah.
Warcraft 3 Reforged comes out. Seems to be, to me, in my opinion, it's a faithful recreation. Yeah.
You're not wrong.
Not deliver on everything. Sure. But the base game is still the base game. Everyone's angry, myself included. I didn't like it. I wish I hadn't bought it. Yeah. And now Diablo 2, and then we're all just stoked. And I just straight up don't get it. You know, if you're stoked and you're going to play it and you have a good time, go for it. And frankly, I am going to try it.
Of course you are.
I'm going to give it a shot because I want to see if I'm wrong. I would love to be wrong on this.
I would love for you to be wrong too. I'm hoping.
What if that happens, Scott? What if I start playing it and I come on the show and I'm just like, Scott, I've never been more stoked to eat crow.
Well,
holy butts. I completely missed out on Diablo 2 back in the day. Give me a time machine. Give me a code red Mountain Dew and send me back.
Well, they announced this week that if you have the save files from 20 years ago, that they'll work. You can import them.
I saw that. And that's the kind of thing where I just go, I think I even tweeted about it. I'm like, man, if I was an old school Diablo 2 player, I would be so jazzed about this.
Yeah. Yeah. And I am. That's why. So let's see. I mean, I am also one of those guys about that StarCraft remade thing. And played it for 20 minutes and said, yep, that's a faithful recreation or faithful repainting of the game I used to love and know. I'm probably not going to be playing that very much, though. And I bought it and never played it again. It was only $15, too, though. So that barrier to entry for StarCraft II and Brood War was offset by the price. They're not going to do that here, though. You know this thing's going to be $49, and it better damn well be worth it. For that,
yeah, that's the other place in my brain goes. I don't typically care, you know. I'm fortunate enough to be in a place in my life where if I want a game, I can buy it.
Right.
Very much still remember a time where that was not the case for me. But I do look at this and go, that price seems a little high.
Yeah, I won't deny that. If they are going to redo, so this is where Kyle and I have a specific agreement because he's excited about it. I'm excited about it, but both of us are really wary of their claim they're going to redo. The entirety remaster, basically remake the entirety of the cinematics in that game, which are frequent and awesome. And it's a ton of work. If they pull that off right and that looks amazing, I'll pay the extra 10. I'll pay your 39, 49, whatever. But I'm very skeptical about that, especially because that was one of the things that they took out of Reforged that they were touting they were going to do. So not I love quite how, the same.
Like, during our BlizzCon line live stream, like, I couldn't agree with Kyle on any of this, and including that was his skepticism, and I was disagreeing with him. I'm like, dude, they know exactly how much they need to 100% hit that if they promise it, because they've already, that bridge is so burned. It's been turned into oil. It is so old and dead.
Yeah. So millions of years later, and a future human civilization is running their cars off the oil from your bridge, Kyle.
Off of the promise of Warcraft 3 cinematics.
There you go.
That's the thing where I'm like, they said it. Like, they are completely aware of how skeptical all of us are. So they have to deliver on it. I'm telling you right now, they will do it because they know exactly how furious we're all going to be if they don't.
Oh my gosh, dude. They have to do it. You're right. I agree with that. That is the one thing about this that I know for sure. They are not going to make a garbage product this time. It may not be your cup of tea. It may not bring back your days that you remember or whatever, but it will be better than Reforged in every possible way. And I see that save file thing, 20-year-old save file support, as like one, as a sign of that. That's just one more little thing. They're like, oh, what else can we do? How about this one thing? Oh yeah, let them bring their saves in. It's no big deal. It's just data, and no one's gonna do it. Like, who cares?
I really want to go back and find my first car, which was a '96 Honda Accord. Can I find it? Will it still have all my discarded Taco Bell wrappers in it? Is that can I get in and just breathe in and be like,
I don't know. Baja Blast. I feel like the parent company of Taco Bell owes us a couple of commissions today for all this Taco Bell talk we're doing. You know, Crunchwrap Supremes, wrappers in your car, Mountain Dew. I think they're all owned by the same Pepsi parent company anyway. Well, they also own KFC. And let me just tell you something. KFC is the worst thing ever. Don't go there. All right, moving on.
I'll mess with the famous bowl.
You'll mess with it, though. Let's see. Let me think what that means. I'm
down with a famous bowl.
Okay.
Okay. Any other day of the week, I'm going to Popeyes. But I like Popeyes I'll get a famous bowl.
I like Popeyes, and I like Wicked Chick. There's a new chain that I really like, and I forgot the name of it. So
it's probably something we don't have in Florida, so I can't help you with it.
Yeah, you probably can't help me. All right, moving on to a question from, where is it? Oh, another one from, here we go. Charles Clark. He is Dr. Chuckles on Twitter, _Dr. Chuckles. He says, I'm curious how subscriber numbers look these days. Saw that they have a 20% discount on Shadowlands now. Seems quick, but maybe no sooner than usual. So I did a little homework on this. I couldn't find exact dates. I'm sure if I looked harder and longer, I could find it. but this is about the time that they do discounts on current expansions. And by when I say this time, it's right before or just ahead of a major content patch, that being 9.1, which I still don't think we have a date for. But it's the next soon thing. And you typically see this right before a big patch like that, 8.01 or 8.1 dropped. Right before that, BFA had a 20% discount or some sort of discount on the store. Same goes for Legion, I found. And I couldn't look further back than that, but I think this is normal. It's easy to look at it and just say, things must be waning. They're already putting it on sale. No, this is just how they, I mean, yes and no, right? Like you kind of, that is why they do it, but this isn't new. As far as I know, they've been doing this since probably Burning Crusade, for all I know. I don't know. And it's always going to be relative. So if you have any kind of drop off, even if you're at 15 million and you're down to like 12, you do a quick little boost to say, hey, you got a new content patch coming out, save 20% and get it now. Or if you have a million players and it goes down by 200,000, you do the same thing. This is business, and that's why they do it. So that would be my take. Garrett, any dissenting opinions from that side of the aisle?
We haven't gotten hard subscriber numbers in a long time. So there's we don't really have facts to go off of, but right. I will all like it, for me, like as someone who's still playing, I just look at it and go, it's the perfect time for it. We're basically kind of at the point where the launch patch is kind of old and moldy. Like if you wanted to be on the cutting edge and experience it, like with all that launch hype, that window has passed.
Yeah.
So now would be a good time. Also 20% is just not that big of a discount.
I will say DPS lines are short for dungeons right now. Don't know why. Just get in real quick. It's taking me less than 2 minutes every time to get in. So
yeah, I've been lazy on my warrior. I haven't wanted the tank. I'm like, I'll just go in this field.
It's a lot of responsibility, man. You go in there and you just never know. People are
jerks.
Yeah, they're jerks. People treat tanks and healers like shit. And I hate that about this game.
That's why I like going in with the healer. So the like chain pulling mage, you just go, hey, let him die.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause then you're not going to vote your friend out, you know,
it's the best.
You're going to hold the line. Yeah. I like it. We got another one from Ro who asked, what would it take to pull you back into Overwatch 1? For me, just mentioning it, cause I'm kind of in the mood right now. So I might play a little Overwatch this weekend. I can tell you what would really drive me to into more regular Overwatch though is just getting to another group of friends together and just running all the time. I loved doing that when that game was new. Just loved it. I think we suck now and we die a lot, but I really enjoy it.
It'd be a big social thing for me, but mostly like I would just rather play a battle royale. So I guess make an Overwatch battle royale, but they already did. It's called Apex Legends and it's really good.
It is good. I'm so burnt out on battle royales though. I need something. I don't know what I need. For FPS, I'm in a weird place. I don't know.
I got weirdly into Call of Duty Deathmatch around Christmas.
I did too, actually. Well, the last game.
Yeah, I unlocked whatever the new version of an MP5 is. I don't know my guns that well, but I got the golden version of that. I played so much damn Deathmatch. I don't think I've ever had a golden gun in Call of Duty.
And just so you guys know, Garrett is very proficient with controllers in that game, and he would rock it in there.
I did, by the way, I did finally decide, F it. No, I'm going to mouse and keyboard.
Oh, you did? Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah. And I got better. I had a much higher KD ratio. Like I sucked for about 4 days.
Yeah.
And then it was like no comparison. But yeah, like I played back in my prime, which was like Modern Warfare 2. That was all Xbox Live. Yeah. So like to me, Call of Duty has almost felt like a controller game.
Yeah. But I get it. My big game right now is it Loop Hero or Hero Loop? I always forget the name of the damn
Loop Hero. Everyone is talking
about it. Gosh dang it. What a crack.
I look at it and I just go, that looks like it's cool and like I should just wait for it to be on Switch.
It's so good. It'll be there. I guarantee it. They sold 500,000 in like 4 days. They did great. So I suspect that game is a massive success for Devolver and the devs.
I cannot escape it.
It's like so good.
Everyone is talking about
it. It's so good.
Kyle's talking about it. That man never buys new games.
I know.
Like ever.
I know. It's so funny. And we had this giant chat and with him and John and Bo and others in our Slack where we just went on and on and on about what strategy works best for what boss. What are you maximizing with your freaking rogue versus the necromancer, all this kind of stuff. It's just one of the weirdest, ugliest, best games ever. It's so good. It's so good, you guys. It's everything you've heard and more. All right, here's one from Ojimon, who says, what would you do to professions in WoW to make them more interesting slash engaging? Well, people have been asking me this since 2003 when I was in the Friends and Family Alpha, and I can tell you, they've never quite worked it out for me because I just find them incredibly boring and not.
Is it a cop out to say nothing?
No, because if you think they're good,
I don't want them to take more time because they're a grind. Like I don't give me Valheim, you know, mining in World of Warcraft. I don't want to have to go out and bang on copper. What is it? I think 8 swings. I had to farm some copper in Valheim this week and it was boring. So yeah, I think leave it the hell alone.
Yeah.
Or let me get a lot more of it from my mission table.
Oh, there you go.
That was something I really liked back in the SWTOR days, was just sending off my followers to go gather crap on my behalf.
I always forget that kind of started that, didn't it? And they were the first.
I'm trying to think.
Pretty sure.
That did predate Draenor.
Pretty sure it did. And it was like hugely influential. Everybody talked about that.
I'm sure someone is going to hit us up with, hey, these three MMOs predated SWTOR and it had it in it. But
maybe
for me, that is the first time I ever interfaced with something like that.
Also, that was the tipping point for it showing up in WoW. And you could argue maybe it was coming there anyway. But yeah, it feels like that was an early case of it anyway. We got one here.
The early days of SWTOR were, I have a lot of nostalgia for
that. I have a lot of good memories about that game.
That's how I started talking to you regularly.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. I mean, we had that one interview with StarCast before that, but
yeah,
it was pretty soon after SWTOR had launched that we were.
I don't know if you remember this. I interviewed you my senior year of college.
I do remember that.
Did it over email.
It was an email, and it was great. And I'm sure I said all sorts of weird shit that I wouldn't say now. I don't know.
I'm sure if I went back and looked it up now, I'd be like, these are the most boilerplate bullshit questions.
That's what you do, though. You got to go through it. You have to be there. Here's one for, where is it? Oh, this is one for you. C. Jebs on Twitter says, will Garrett Art spend more hours in TBC Classic or D2 Resurrected? And will Scott try TBC Classic at all with a 58 boost? I'll answer mine first just to get it out of the way. I don't think so. I don't think I care. It's not a. This is, again, there's no negativity toward Classic or people who love this. I'm stoked for you. I think part of it is, I don't know, when did TBC come out? 07, right?
Yeah.
I had a
real end, like tail end of it.
I had a 7-year-old, a 10-year-old, and a 13-year-old, and I was well into my adulting time, and I feel like as a result of my adulting time, oh, that's weird. My camera just took a dump. Hold on. Let me fix that. I don't know what that was about. It's never done that before. That stuff, you know, it feels too recent to me. Like it feels like we're talking about doing that again. I'm like, I remember all the playtime. I still remember where I picked it up and how soon I installed it. And that was the one that I loaded on DVD and not CDs like I did the first game. And like, to me, it was yesterday. And I feel like if you were a kid in junior high and you played that, and now you're out of college and starting your career, and then you're like hearing that TBC is coming back in a classic form, that's a different kind of thing. That would be like, that feels like a long time for you, and you have nothing but fond feelings for that. I look at it as like not that long ago. It was just 2007. It's just like nothing. So I don't know.
I was a sophomore in college, so it does feel like it was ancient for me.
Yeah, it would. But it would, and it should, right? Like that that time for me is ancient. Like if I look back at, I don't know, what had it been, 92 or something?
To me, that's where I go to cheat on retail when I'm bored with it. And so if it came out right now, I'd be playing the butts out of Burning Crusade. Right. But, you know, if it comes out and point one comes out like within a month of it,
yeah,
that's really going to hurt BC Classic's prospects for me. But yeah, I get you, man.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
I've been there. I've done that. But you know, Scott, sometimes you get a new car and you think, I kind of miss my old one. I mean, I like the backup camera.
Yeah.
But I miss that old Taco Bell stench.
I love that those are the two equal things that you want to swap back.
I like that, you know, I like that I can fly now, but I miss paying 5,000 gold to do it in the first place.
Well, here's to answer his question. I will spend more time in D2 Resurrected than he will. And he will probably spend more time in TBC Classic than I will. I think that's fair.
My gut right now says that I think, yeah, I'll probably spend more time in BC Classic than I will in D2 Resurrected. But as we said earlier, maybe I'll be surprised.
Yeah.
And Diablo 2 would be a new experience for me. So,
yeah. And I'm,
maybe it'll work. Who knows?
This is funny because the same, you're explaining the way you feel about D2 is how I feel a little bit about Classic WoW, in that I'm sure glad it exists for people that want it, but for me to go back in there and relive that experience, I just can't feel like, I like that the game is ever changing, ever evolving, and new. I want that. That's what I want. I don't want to look back on a game that's meant to be a living, breathing, permanent fixture that just keeps evolving with time. And so I like it for the reasons that Classic people don't, I think. And I think that's okay. It's just that's why we're different, I suppose. I don't know.
Yeah.
One final question from Outrider, who said, so, story question. Since the Helm of Domination has been destroyed, who leads the Scourge? Shouldn't they be running wild across Azeroth still? That's a fair point. I mean, a number of them are in Shadowlands hanging out with us. Some fairly significant characters and a few extras. But yeah,
well, those are point. Death Knights, not the, like, the mindless Scourge. Yeah,
that's true. Maybe Syndergos is dead, so she can't just like fly around and keep him controlled. I I don't know who's running the show. Who is? Nobody.
I don't know. What did that? Do we just kill so many of them?
Do they just have, like, you know, here's what you do. They put up a big ice wall, and then down in the maw, they can look up and see how the rules are getting followed, right? Because that's just up there in the sky now. Their sky is their floor, and their floor is their sky, right? So you're just like, oh, okay, wall's holding, everything's good. Somebody let Bolvar know, we're fine. Maybe that's it. Or it's a huge plot hole that they haven't thought of is more likely what happened.
I don't remember there being a specific explanation as to what the hell happened.
I don't either. We're just here now. And I've been back to Orgrimmar twice for Orgrimmar things. And then one other quest run where I had to go see Alexstrasza somewhere in her tiny bikini. So that had to happen. But other than that, I haven't been to Azeroth, so I don't know what. Maybe the place is all torn to shit and we just don't know it. Don't know. Someone check out
canonically,
the Alliance.
Like, we're like, for the gameplay reasons, we're just going back and hanging out, but canonically Azeroth is forfeit.
Yeah. Yeah. Azeroth
it's now the Walking Dead over there.
It's got a big sword in it that never got explained. Oh, wait, what happened to the sword in the end? Did I miss? I forgot that.
No, it's still there.
It's still sticking there. Okay. So that's there. I noticed running through, where was I? Argos or, no. Where did I go? I don't remember, but Magni's still yelling at me to get Azerite. Like, those world quests are still popping off. Like, well, you know, world quest WoW is weird if you think about it. Because if you go back to those continents, go back to Legion and just run around. Even if you, you know, there's nothing to do there, but if you stand in a place where there is a world quest, it'll go, cha-ching. Ah, the people of Rarada say so-and-so is burning down their homes. Get in there and see if you can find the cat or whatever. You're still going to be bombarded with that stuff, and it's a little off-putting. It's weird. I don't like it.
I'm maining my warrior this expansion, and every time I use my Dalaran Hearthstone, because my other Hearthstone is on cooldown, to get back to Ouroboros quickly, the damn Valkyrie, "Hail, champion! Odin calls for your butt!" Like, and I'm just like, "Go away, winged lady!"
Yeah.
For the love of, like, she's just screaming champion every time I go back to Dalaran.
Champion! Yeah. She won't shut up.
Yeah, it's like, I don't want to go get my artifact. Shut up. Go away.
Oh, the world of prescriptions. Such a pain sometimes, wouldn't you say? Well, Amazon Pharmacy makes it easier to order prescriptions and have them delivered straight to you. That's right, your door. The process is simple and saves you both time and hassle. No more waiting at the line at the pharmacy. Ugh, just saying those words hurts. Instead, just have your doctor's office send your next prescription straight to the Amazon Pharmacy, and you will receive it delivered straight to your door. Amazon Pharmacy works with most insurance plans nationwide, so that's good. I mean, you're probably covered there. Anyway, I've had amazing experiences with this. I do a number of subscription services through Amazon, and this is my latest, and I really like it. As soon as I heard it was a thing, I started doing it. I don't have a ton of medications, but I got a couple my doctor has me on. And so what better way to get them than quick and easy with free shipping? So it's really great. Amazon Prime members can save on prescription medication when not using insurance and get free two-day delivery. Holy cow, that's great. Learn more at amazon.com/WowRx. You know, like World of Warcraft. WowRx. That's amazon.com/WowRx. Well, I'm glad you said that, because I got something for you now. Check this out. Speaking of bosses yelling stuff at you, Garrett, today's test is an interesting one. This is Know Your Lore, and we're going to talk about the Burning Crusade with bosses from the Burning Crusade, and can you recognize them by their voices?
Oh, boy! I never really knew their names in the first place. This will be interesting.
Yep. I mean, I even knew going into this that Garrett spent most of his time raiding in Wrath of the Lich King. Didn't get to do it very much in TBC. And so, as a result, this is probably not going to be fair, but we're going to do it anyway. If you get one of these right, you'll hear this. If you get it wrong, you'll hear this.
You needed to ask me what I actually called them before this, because it could be like that, the fish boss in that one raid, and if I go, oh yeah, that's a big fish dick.
Yeah,
that's what I call that boss. Yeah, so
Fish Dick Junior. We all remember him. He was great. All right, well, here goes. I'm going to play the first one, and we'll see if you can figure it out. Again, nothing to do with Hearthstone this time. These are just bosses in actual raids in TBC or dungeons. Maybe just raids. I'm not sure. Let me check. Nope, dungeons also. So you don't have to know the dungeon or the character. Or if you get either one, you get a point. So if you get the character, you get a point. You get the place, you get a point. If you get both, you get 2 points. Okay? So here you go. And if you get neither of them, you just don't win that one. So here's your first one right here. Enjoy.
Bring it on.
What aggravation?
Whoops, that was weird. Hold on.
What aggravation is this? You will die. Your life will be mine. I'll incinerate you.
All right. Any ideas? and then I'll hint. You can have a hint. It can either be, let me think. No, I'll tell you. Okay, if you need a hint, I will give you the encounter, the dungeon, the place that you're fighting him.
I think I'd be more likely to get a point if you told me the name of the boss and I had to guess the dungeon.
We can try.
I have
that,
no
man.
Clue who this is.
All right.
I'd like to phone a friend, and could you please give me Chris Metzen's phone number?
Yeah, he'll do it for you. All right, I'll give you the. Okay, you know what? We will do it that way. I'm going to give you the name of the character. You tell me the instance. Okay, here you go.
Okay,
Thorgrim the Tender, and not tender like, oh, it hurts. It's tender, more like I tend my crops. Tender.
Thorgrim the Tender. Yeah, I'm really at a loss on this one. I don't know. Hellfire Ramparts.
The Botanica is the correct answer. The Botanica. I don't know where that was.
Yep. That was part of the Tempest Keep dungeons.
Oh, okay. There's a wing in there.
I should have known that from Tender. Yeah.
All right. It's all right, because you got another chance. This one is one you can decide what you want, the location or the character. Here you go.
Keep your minds focused, for the days of reckoning are close at hand. Soon the destroyer of worlds will return.
Okay, what do you think?
Soon the destroyer of worlds will return.
Yeah, not Veronica Belmont. Think. That's not who they mean. Just for the record. She is not the destroyer in this case.
Is that resurrected Kael'thas? That sounds kind of like resurrected Kael'thas.
Is it resurrected Kael'thas? Incorrect. It is Grand Master Vorpal from the Shadow Labyrinth.
Oh, then I definitely would have gotten that wrong.
Well, you definitely did. You got it wrong. Well done.
No idea.
All right. Here's another one. It may have been the same voice actor. I didn't check. So it's entirely possible that you got that right.
Are they talking about the story of the world's coming back? I just assume they're talking about Kill Jaden, because that was like the last patch in BC.
Yeah. I think Jiraxxus should be the new guy that kills everybody. Because you would always say you faced your axis, and I love that. Here's, I almost gave it away. I'll just play it here.
Your insolence will be your death. You dare stand against me? Akor Shakai, feast my pet. Eat your fill.
Okay, he had a pet. Which is kind of a hint.
I apparently have just butt memory for Burning Crusade bosses, dude.
I almost did Lich King, and I may in the future. The reason I didn't know is I was like, well, we got classic TBC coming up. This would be a good thing to, you know, tie into the show.
Yeah, no. This is the kind of thing. Like, I'm bad with names, man.
All right, I'll give you a hint. Hellfire Ramparts was the place. Do you know who that might have been in Hellfire Ramparts?
The echo of Mac Theridan down in the basement telling me to take his blood and choke on it, but you didn't give me that voice line?
Is it that? Nope. It's Omor. Sorry, hit the wrong button. It's Omor the Unscarred.
Ah, good old Omor.
Yeah.
I still don't remember him, even though you gave me the name in the dungeon.
All right, now we're going to shift over to the other continent or the other side of the world, and we're going to see if you can know this guy. And let's just say he's in a foresty area. There's your hints.
Enough. I will erase your very existence. You cannot fight fate.
All right. Any ideas on Mr. Echoey Pants?
Can I get his... What zone was this located in?
I will tell you it's in Hillsbrad Foothills.
Hillsbrad Foothills?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, so it's the Caverns of Time BS?
Maybe.
It was Caverns of Time and Burning Crusade?
Yes, it was. That's when you first went there.
So that would have been the old Black Morass dungeon.
Maybe. I'm pretty sure this dude's an outdoor guy, so I think it was Caverns of Time. Because I think you fight him outside. No one in the chat's got it right yet. Definitely not a space goat. I think he's kind of a tree.
He's a tree?
I think. Yeah, I'm not 100% sure on that.
I'm just going for the dungeon. Is it Black Morass?
It is not. It is Epoch Hunter. And it just says part of the old Hillsbrad Foothills, which I assume is part of the Thrall run that you do for the time dungeon thing. I don't have all the details there. I wish I did.
I don't even remember the name of that dungeon.
Might have been a dragon. Was it a space goat? I don't know. Doesn't matter. Here's your final option. All right. So far, we got 0 of 4. This is your big chance to take it all for number 5. I'll give you a hint. This is... where was that? What was
Dernhold Keep. That was the name of that damn dungeon.
Yep. There you go. Where the one? Okay. So the next hint I'll give you is this is near Shattrath. Okay. So... this will help you there. Here you go.
I will feed on your soul. Do not resist.
Okay, he's a pretty serious guy. Pretty serious. What do you think?
I think it's the Void Boss. Literally the only boss I know from Akhen Dune is Murmur. So I don't know the name of the Void Boss. So
really close. You're right that he's a Void Boss. He's one of the Void. He's like a Void Walker dude. And he is in a tomb that's full of a certain thing that if you were a night elf or a blood elf, you'd just be in there and like licking the walls. So, I wrote Nana Tunes. I meant Mana.
Oh, man. Yeah. Again, it's like a lot of these dungeons I don't remember the name of, let alone the bosses, but I can picture the room in my head. So if I could like, give me like 4 hours to sketch the room. Yeah. Like, could we do a 4-hour Pictionary?
Yeah, there we're doing go. It. We're doing it. That's the next up here, okay. right here on the instance. Instead, I'll just give you this. It's Pandemonius is his name. Pandemonius.
Ah, yes. I would have never gotten this.
Yeah. Cthulhu seems confused. The reason that if you think of it, if there are tombs in World of Warcraft that a blood elf would want to lick the walls from, it of course would be mana tombs because they're addicted to mana, right? They're into it.
Pandemonius. Looking for images on Pandemonius.
He just looks like a big blown out.
Correctly. Yep, that's exactly. Yeah. Oh, hell, I was even slightly remembering him wrong. I forgot that he had armor.
Yeah, he's an armored Void Walker. Yeah, which makes no sense, but whatever. WoW does what WoW does. All right. we've done it. Well done. Congratulations. You got none of them right. But it was really hard. I knew this was going to be hard going into this. I knew it was going to be near impossible. So who knows what next week will bring. You'll have to tune in and find out. All right. That's going to do it for today's show. A reminder that all that stuff that we got today for questions came from our Twitter account. So follow us at Instant Show. We'll do that once in a while. But if you'd rather email us the old-fashioned way, you can do that as well. That is over at theinstance@gmail.com. And as always, theinstance.net, where you can support us at our Instance Plus supporter system. We built it ourselves and made it easy for you to hop in there and chuck a couple of bucks our way for the show you love. So go check it out. That's theinstance.net for details. Garrett, let's talk about anything going on around amove.tv this week before we go.
Oh, yeah. Well, as you know, there's a lot of podcasts over there. And so if you like Hearthstone, if you like Heroes of the Storm, if you want even more WoW talk from me, all of that can be found over at amove.tv. Just put up a new WoW killer yesterday with Taliesin.
Yeah.
Talked about, a little bit about 9.0.5. If it's any indication, that show usually runs long, and this is our shortest episode yet.
It's not the biggest patch, folks. It's just kind of a thing. It just sort of exists.
It's unremarkable.
Yeah. It's okay, though. It's not really a content patch anyway. So I don't even know why they hyped it up as much as they did. And probably because, you know, it's a weird time. You got to hype it up and do what you got to do. 9.1 is where it's at anyway. So we'll watch for that. If you're looking for anything else related to what I do, head on over to what's it called? It's called frogpants.com. Yeah, that's my website. And over there, you'll find all kinds of shows and podcasts, other video game shows and content that you might like, a daily morning show. You might want to check that out if you haven't yet. Lots of fun stuff happening over at frogpants.com. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Garrett, for all of you. We will see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes, get more at frogpants.com.